102.3.
It's good to have you listening on this Friday night. Cowboy Joe, so good to see you. This is the Mental Health Hotline, folks. It's an award-winning show. We were recognized by the state psychiatric community last year from Nashville. It's good to have you listening. This is the third of 12 shows, and one of the big sponsors, I've got to thank Dr. Tim Jennings, who has just stepped up to the plate for the second year in a row. Listen, we have got a psychiatrist who I think is first class, Dr. Tim Jennings. He runs TMS Chattanooga. We're going to talk about depression. Any issues for you, for the psychiatrist, Dr. Tim Jennings, now is the time to call, folks. You got free advice. You don't even have to give your full name. Just give an initial, 267-1023, 267-1023. I've got to talk about TMS Chattanooga. Explain what this is, an FDA-approved device that seems to be working. If you are in bouts of depression, you've got to listen.
Yeah, TMS is a transcranial magnetic stimulator. Basically, it takes a strong electromagnet and gives pulses of magnetic energy right across your scalp and activates the neural circuits that control mood. And what makes this so fast, and this is FDA approved, it's drug free, you're alert, you're in a chair, listen to an iPod, read a magazine, no IVs, no anesthesia, no drugs of any kind. And what makes this different than medications is that how a medication works, when one neuron wants to talk to another neuron, the neuron will release a chemical in a space called a synapse. And that chemical then is taken back up by the releasing neuron with little pumps, like little vacuum cleaners that will suck that stuff back in. The antidepressants in general work by shutting those pumps off so that when a neuron fires and releases the chemical into the synapse, the pump doesn't take it back up, it stays out longer. The problem, and one of the reasons why antidepressants don't work that well, and when I say don't work that well, the studies show that the studies actually showed that 27% of people will get well with their first antidepressant, which means 73% of people don't get well with their first antidepressant. So you're not getting a great, really, remission rate with antidepressants. And the reason why is because the PET scans or functional scans of the brain show that when someone's depressed, the neurons are very sedate. They're not firing very much. They're very lethargic. They're just like the person, you look at somebody and see them depressed, they're just de-energized. Well, the brain isn't firing well. And unless the neurons fire, then there's no chemicals in the synaptic spaces for them to be taken back up.
So what does this machine do?
So what the TMS device does is the TMS device, while you're in the chair, it actually fires the neurons. It causes them to depolarize 3,000 times in one session. And the normal biology of your brain is when neurons fire together, they wire together. Neurons that fire together wire together, something called recruitment, and you fire them over and over again, proteins are released that will cause new neurons to grow. We get neuronal regeneration with TMS. And when neurons fire repeatedly, it takes less energy for you to fire those neurons.
All right, let me ask you, repeatedly, how many sessions do you need here? Do you feel better immediately?
No, you don't. What happens when somebody gets TMS, if they're in depression, and it's approved for people who have failed antidepressants, and it's shown to be effective in getting people well who aren't getting well in medicine. So this is a very, what we would call a tough crowd. This is a group of patients who are real recalcitrant or resistance to getting well, and they're still getting well on TMS. And so it requires a treatment Monday through Friday for 6 weeks or 30 treatments to get out. The treatment lasts 37 minutes.
Insurance?
It depends on where you are. Blue Cross Anthem, which is Blue Cross of Georgia, and 14 other states, plus other insurances, not Blue Cross around the nation. Medicare has approved it. All these have policies and approve it. Blue Cross of Tennessee is still pretending like they don't really understand what's going on in the world and have chosen not to form a policy on this, even though it's been FDA approved since 2008.
I got to say that. FDA approved. What else can you get? Federal approval.
Yeah, you know,
there are people hurting right now. See, they've got to do something, Dr. Jennings.
You know, do people really believe that insurance companies are interested in their health or insurance companies interested in making their money?
267-1023, you've got a psychiatrist here, Dr. Tim Jennings, who I consider one of the best in this town. Any questions, whether it's suicidal thoughts, obsessive compulsive disorders, depression, you've got one of the best here that can help you out. 267-1023. The phone lines are wide open. What is happening in our society today? Is it sleep deprivation that's bringing everybody down? Is it stress? What is happening with what you're seeing in your profession?
Well, you know, that's a great question. I'm glad you asked it. It's a confluence of events. And a confluence means when multiple different factors come together. It's like multiple little streams come together to form a river, okay? And so when you ask what's going on in society, well, sleep deprivation is a huge, huge issue. There are four physical requirements to life. Most people know the first three, air, water, food. But the fourth one, physical requirement, sleep. And most Americans are actually sleep deprived. The adult human requires about 7.5 hours of sleep a night. 7.5 hours sleep a night.
Your mind must be at rest.
Not just like relaxing rest, sleep. And when you sleep, you go through actual sleep stages, stage 1 and 2, followed by the deep restorative 3 and 4, delta slow wave sleep, followed by REM, rapid eye movement, dream state, and then goes back through the cycle over. And again, in one cycle of sleep lasts about 70 to 90 minutes, something like that. And you need at least 5 of those, 6 of those a night. So you need about 7.5, 8 hours of sleep a night. This is what your brain needs. If you don't get sleep, if you sleep deprive people, they can become psychotic and even die from sleep deprivation. So most Americans sleep deprived, the first part of the brain that is impaired when someone's sleep deprived is the part of the brain right behind your forehead. This is the part of the brain that reasons, that problem solves, that pays attention, that focus. Sleep deprivation can look just like attention deficit disorder. Sleep deprivation. In fact, there was a study on children who were diagnosed with attention deficit disorder, and then they put all these children who were diagnosed with attention deficit disorder in a sleep lab and found that 28% of them had undiagnosed sleep apnea from large tonsils and adenoids, and when they treated that 28% didn't have symptoms of attention deficit disorder anymore. So sleep deprivation, it can impair prefrontal cortex. Prefrontal cortex also modulates mood. So if your prefrontal cortex is not functioning properly, then you get overwhelmed more easy, you feel more exhausted, more stressed, more frustrated. You can eat more. This is all true. And this activates the brain's fear or anxiety circuits. Chronic fear and anxiety results in inflammation. So you get inflammation in your body. Studies show that this type of chronic problem increases your risk of diabetes, obesity, heart attacks, strokes, cancer, osteopenia, osteoporosis, weak and brittle bones. All this is happening because of brain changes going on.
Joe.
You're talking about the stages of sleep that you need, and you said you need 4 or 5 of the complete stage in order to get your 7 to 8 hours in night. Well, how do you ensure that you get those, or how do you know that you got in that one section or that one stage that you got the full benefit of
Great
it?
Question.
Yeah. No, I think you might have misunderstood, or I might not have said it exactly right. One cycle, okay, is through
contains
those stages.
All that.
Yes.
But he was saying, can you miss one?
Some people do have longer periods in delta sleep or shorter REM cycles, and as you go through the night, REM becomes a little shorter as the night goes on. So yes, you can have problems in those types of things. And certain medications, by the way, can alter your progression through those sleep cycles. And certain medications can, for instance, suppress dream sleep. And in fact, they're given to people with post-traumatic stress disorder to suppress the dream so they stop their nightmares. But generally, what happens when you sleep, you will go through one cycle, and the cycle will go through stage 1, 2, deep sleep, and then REM, and then back through again.
Is it as easy as just getting a new mattress when it comes to getting
point.
A good night's sleep? Because, you know, when you watch the commercials, that's what you would be led to believe.
You are so
well,
right.
You know,
are we dumb as Americans to think this?
It's certainly a bad mattress that causes you physical discomfort can interfere with sleep. There's no question about that. So having a comfortable place to sleep is important, but the room temperature is important. A hot room is hard to sleep in, so you need a cool room.
They say exercise is good before you sleep now.
Is that
what I'm hearing?
Not immediately before sleep, because what'll happen is it'll, you know, several hours before sleep, it can be beneficial. You get some lactic acid that builds up and it can help you feel more fatigued and then go to sleep. But immediately before sleep, it kind of wakes you up. If you go out and run, it kind of wakes you up. So bright light at night, television, computer time, this isn't really good. It destroys melatonin. Melatonin helps you go to sleep. So these types of things aren't helpful. So there's lots of things you can do to help you sleep. If somebody's got a problem with insomnia and they're not sleeping well, the simple thing to do to start with is very simple. You restrict your time in bed to 6 hours a night.
No reading in bed, nothing that beforehand.
You go to bed, turn the lights out, and if you can't sleep, you get up and you read the Old Testament.
Okay, really?
Seriously, for 30 or 40 minutes, you read the Old Testament, you go back to bed.
Why is that?
Because it puts you to sleep.
Okay, really? That is so interesting.
Yeah, you don't want something that's exciting. You want something that's kind of it really is kind of slow, and it's and you don't want television, you don't want movies. They get you excited. They get your juices flowing.
That is funny. All right, Renee, it's great to have you on with Dr. Tim Jennings, Chattanooga psychiatrist. Good to have you, Renee.
Hi, thanks, Jed. Yeah, I'm calling actually about a problem that my mother has been experiencing for, I would say, the past maybe 2 to 3 months. And it's actually happening on a nightly basis. She wakes up in the night. She's 73. She's in good health. She does not take any medication on a daily basis. And she drinks occasionally, but, you know, glass of wine here or there. But she goes to sleep at night, and she wakes up in the night, and she has very vivid hallucinations. She sees people in her room. She sees, you know, animals in the room. She sees just all kinds of craziness like that. I don't know if there's any sound that goes along with that, if she hears people talk, or if the people talk or anything like that. I'm not quite certain. But can you tell me, first of all, what could cause that? And then secondly, does she need to see like her internist about that, or would she need to come to a psychiatrist?
You know, I would. This is a great question, and I'm really glad you told me she's on no medications. That would have been the first thing I would want to suspect, that she had some type of medication issue that could be causing this. My recommendation is that definitely she needs to start with a neurologist. I would go see a neurologist. This is sounds physiologic or organic rather than psychiatric in nature. And it doesn't sound like these are sleep generated type of things. Is this happening only when she's waking up, and once she's awake, it's gone, or after she's awake, it's there for a while?
It's there, and I don't really know, how long, but it's there when she's awake. She wakes up, and, you know, she sees, you know, there's a man in the doorway, or there's a man in the closet,
or whatever.
And she wakes up, and it stays for, you know, a minute or two, because she says it's just so upsetting. She thinks there's someone there.
Has she had the experience, does she describe to you this experience of being awake, but for a brief period of time feeling like she can't move in the bed as she's waking up, like she's paralyzed?
You know what? She has not mentioned that. I am not sure. I would think if that were the case, she would have mentioned it, but I'm not positive about that.
Because there's a condition called REM intrusion, and that's when that your dream state sleep is still, your brain is still in dream state, but you're now awake, and so instead of dreaming, these dreams now come into your mind as hallucinations, and so they seem like hallucinations, but oftentimes it is associated with sleep paralysis, because when we're in our REM state, we generally have sleep paralysis, so we don't, you know, hit people and that kind of stuff in our dreams.
Uh-huh.
That's why I asked that question. This is a possibility. It's concerning to me that this, though, is beginning at age 73. And mm-hmm. I think she needs a neurologic evaluation, because it suggests that there's some neurodegeneration possibly going on there. And she really needs to get that evaluated and see if there's some interventions that could help.
I mean, could that be leading up to something like Alzheimer's? Is that what you're saying?
Well,
neurodegeneration?
I hate to put those types of things out not having seen somebody, because that can be quite terrifying and scare somebody. But certainly that could be a possibility, that this could be a symptom of a declining brain for some reason along those lines, yes.
And I actually had wondered about that, because I've read a little bit about it, and I'd understand that can be suggestive of, you know, an onset of something like that.
That's correct.
But anyway, okay.
And there are medicines. If it is something like that,
you need to go in to the neurologist then and make up an appointment with them.
I think that's right, because he'll want to do an MRI. He'll want to do some other things. And there are medicines, though, even if it is Alzheimer's dementia, that actually can be very helpful in restoring function and slowing progression. And there's some nutritional stuff as well that has been shown to be helpful in treating that.
Okay, wonderful. Oh, gosh, I appreciate it so much. Thank
great
you
question,
so
Renee.
Very much. Great information. Thank you.
Thanks
and
for
thank
calling.
You. I wish everyone would take advantage of Dr. Tim Jennings, Chattanooga psychiatrist. He is right here, depression, PTSD. ADD, ADHD, any mental concerns right now, please call in. Tim Jennings from TMS Chattanooga. If you are depressed, you've got to check out TMS Chattanooga, 531-4110. The phone lines are open. Get help. It is the Mental Health Hotline. It's the third of 12 shows. Sky Ridge Medical Center, Dr. Tim Jennings, Focus Healthcare, Dr. Charles Sanders. Thank each of you for what you have done to provide this show. Even if you don't call, we're getting help, and you are getting help. And we're providing some needed service in our community when it comes to tough mental health issues. Hey, listen, you've got one of the best psychiatrists in Chattanooga just sitting here waiting for your calls. 267-1023. He'll answer any questions you have dealing with mental illness. Right now, we want to talk about depression, but that's just one topic. He runs TMS Chattanooga. How effective is this? Let me just ask that question. You said it is a 30-day process?
Yeah. In our practice, the patients that we've treated for depression that have failed antidepressants, we have 80% of them depression-free now.
No more medications. They are depression-free.
Depression-free.
How debilitating is depression? And what is depression?
Depression is dysfunction of the brain. The brain is not firing its circuits in proper balance. There's alterations in brain structure. We're actually losing brain volume in critical brain regions. There's alterations in gene expression within the brain. And there's a cascading effect throughout the body where we get increasing inflammation so that people with depression have higher rates of diabetes, obesity, heart attack, strokes, and so forth, because there's a close link between what's happening in the brain and the body.
Listen, if you are depressed, if you go through bouts of depression, can you call and share us, let us know what this is like? So what is it? Some days I want to stay inside, I want to sleep.
Depression, when someone's depressed, the brain is not functioning properly. It's sedate. The neurons are not firing. So the various spheres of your experience are altered. You don't have the energy you normally have. Your thinking is sluggish and in molasses. You start ruminating about negative and fear-based things. You lose your appetite or have loss of interest. You can ruminate about death and wanting to die, feelings of guilt, inadequacy, and worthlessness. These types of symptoms are associated with depression because the circuits that are responsible for these different areas are dysfunctional.
All right. So any age can be affected by depression?
Basically, I wouldn't say, an infant or something, but yeah, basically children can be affected and throughout life, absolutely.
So how do you know if a spouse, how do you know if a loved one, a family member is depressed? How long does it last? And
it lasts varying degrees. The minimum length of an episode to be classified technically as depression is 2 weeks. 2 weeks of unremitting symptoms like that.
And that must hurt. Your brain must be in pain.
Yeah, this is what people who have depression will describe, and it can be different levels of severity, as in any type of illness. You can have a mild cold or severe cold or even pneumonia to the point that you have respiratory failure. Same thing with depression. It can be to the point where they're debilitated and can't even get out of bed and or are suicidal and try to kill themselves. Or it can be more of a mild form of depression where they're still able to drag through the day, but it takes extreme effort and energy, and there's no joy, and life is bland and blah, and they feel like they wish they were dead, but they push themselves through it anyway.
So you can be a functioning person fine, but be depressed throughout
the
whole day.
You're not fine. You can. Some people are able to, because of a sense of duty, because of an obligation, a mother to children or whatever, some are able to push through the more mild forms of depression, but the severe forms of depression, they can't push through.
You've got Dr. Tim Jennings here, Chattanooga psychiatrist. Caller, go ahead, please. And if I'm reading Joe's screen right, you are a veteran, and I just want to thank you for your service. And go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I have a question. I have a PTSD thing from the VA, but I don't feel comfortable going to the VA because the last couple of times I went, they just wanted to heal me up. They gave me, I was to take like 5 Lexapro capsules daily, and I did that for about a month, and I felt like a slobbering fool. It's like I just didn't feel like getting up and going, doing anything. And there's triggers out there. I know what the triggers are, and I do the best to avoid them, but there's times that I really, really, that I've almost crossed the line and popped a few people in the head, and because of the stupid stuff they would do that would just kind of trigger some of the stuff that went on over there, and I don't know.
Where did you serve?
Iraq. I was in Iraq.
You were in Iraq. Thank you for your service. I spent 8 years in the Army. I was the division psychiatrist for the 24th and 3rd ID, and was chief of psychiatry at Wynn Army Hospital out down at Fort Stewart before I got out of the military in 97, and treated a lot of soldiers and have been quite familiar with our veterans who have served and seen combat. And what you describe is not uncommon, sadly. The VA tends to be over overwhelmed with the numbers of patients they see and understaffed with the number of people. And sadly, when that happens, people will turn to things that are speedy, and medicines are easy to dispense, but that they don't really result in long-term wellness for PTSD. It's not that there's not a place for medicines. Medicines aren't really going to solve the problem, though. And with someone who's been through a traumatic experience, there's a combination of trying to calm down the overactive fear and anxiety circuitry, the alarm circuitry of your brain that gets upregulated through the trauma experience. But there's a more important piece that doesn't seem to be addressed for you, and that is processing through and coming to peace with the history of what you went through and relearning through proper therapy to calm those circuits down and keep them calm. There's a relationship between our thinking processes, what we think and how we think, and the firing of the brain circuits. And therapy can be very beneficial for you. So I'd encourage you to find a therapist and start working with somebody who could help you come to some resolution of these traumatic events.
Could TMS help this veteran?
You know, actually, there are some, studies that have been done with veterans. And I understand that in, Walter Reed Hospital, they have TMS, this very device that I have, that they are using to help veterans. And it has been shown to be beneficial because one of the things that happens, and I won't get too technical on the airways. If I had a little diagram I could show, one of the things that happens in trauma is certain thoughts start ruminating. You get kind of in a ruminating loop where the negative thinking or fear apprehension fires the fear circuitry, reinforces the negative
it's
thought.
Like obsessive compulsive.
It's kind of like that, based on fear and apprehension. And what the TMS device does, it actually activates the part of the brain that stops that loop.
Wow.
And
hey,
so that could be beneficial potentially.
Do you have computer access? Can you go to his website and look at some of the videos he has about this TMS product?
What's the website?
TMSChattanooga.com. TMSChattanooga.com. But I would really recommend, even before you go that direction with this, that's something to consider, is that you do get in with a good therapist and really begin working in that direction as well. There's various therapeutic techniques that are helpful for people with trauma issues.
Can he come see you? Can he set up an appointment if he calls your office?
He's free to call my office, absolutely, and talk to my staff about getting an appointment. Sure.
531-4110. You deserve it, man. 531-4110.
Thank you.
His office is located right there on Lee Highway next to the Sports Barn.
Okay, over there by Sam's Club.
Right across the street.
All right, thank you.
All right, you take care, buddy.
Hey, 267-1023, Dr. Tim Jennings, Chattanooga psychiatrist. We're talking about depression, but he will answer any calls that you have, whether it's depression, PTSD, whether it's eating disorders, whatever you have right now, take advantage of this show. This is what it's all about for 12 weeks. 267-1023, depression, so debilitating, Dr. Jennings. Like we said, it can just knock you out. It hurts. So what can a family member do? I mean, is this the route to go?
When you say family member, do you mean the family member of
or the
depressed person?
Yeah, like a spouse. What does someone do to help them? Is this the route to go?
I think the thing to do is get them into a professional. And I'm going to tell you, there are places for medicines for depression, and some people would be dead, really, without medicine today. The antidepressants have been very beneficial to many people. However, antidepressants also don't work for many people, and many people have serious side effects. And some because of a variety of factors, insurances, and limitations on how long doctors can see patients because of reimbursements and lots of other factors. You know, a lot of practices don't actually do psychotherapy with patients anymore.
Are we over-medicated? Do psychiatrists these days actually treat, or is it just a pill bill, so to speak?
Well, you know, I think that varies from practice to practice. I do think there are some practices that because of various pressures have found that they do primarily medicine and don't do much psychotherapy anymore. And that really is, in my view, very limited. I take a very holistic approach to my patients. I look at somebody biologically, psychologically, socially, and spiritually. And I want to look at the contributing factors. And somebody's depressed, it's not enough to say depression, antidepressant. This is very primitive thinking. And this is where a lot of doctors that do prescribe antidepressants, whether they're primary care or psychiatry, will, you know, go down the trail trail of indication-based prescribing. Basically, you got the diagnosis. We give you a medicine that has been approved for that diagnosis, and that's about as deep as the thinking may go. My approach is to say, okay, you've got depression. Now I need to understand why. What has gone wrong in your life that has brought you to the point you have depression? Do you have nutritional deficits? And there are nutritional deficits that contribute to depression. Do you have a conflict going on in a relationship? You're a spouse and you're going through a divorce. You've lost someone. You're grieving. Do you have a hormone problem, hypothyroidism, or lack of testosterone or estrogen? Do you have a spiritual problem where you have unresolved guilt or shame over something?
Wow.
So we look at the contributing factors, and we want to address all the contributing factors that brings a person to depression, and address rather than just throw medicine. Now, medicine, well, most of my patients, if they're not getting TMS, I would say the vast majority do have medicine as a piece of a larger treatment pie. But when you go with just one slice out of that pie and give medicine only, then you really limit the number of patients you're going to get well.
Let me just say, if you are listening and you know someone who is going through bouts of depression, it is TMS Chattanooga. He is board certified. He is a Chattanooga psychiatrist. He is soon to be president-elect of the Tennessee Psychiatric Association. It is Dr. Tim Jennings. You mentioned a really hot button here. Beliefs affect your thinking. You've got a new book out. I think when this book is released, it is going to be huge. It is called The God-Shaped Brain. Beliefs affect your thinking. And let me just say, guilt is a killer, Dr. Jimmy.
No, there's no question about it. And
it hurts.
Guilt is a killer. And there's two types of guilt. There's appropriate guilt, or sometimes known as legitimate guilt. And there's inappropriate or illegitimate guilt. Appropriate guilt is the kind of guilt when we've actually done something wrong. Okay, but the illegitimate guilt is we feel guilty, but we haven't done anything wrong.
All right, hold that thought.
Okay.
Hold that thought. Susie, great to have you on the show with Dr. Tim Jennings. I am so glad you called, Susie.
Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to ask a question about teenage behavior and when to involve a professional and when to maybe just think, okay, this is just regular teenage behavior. And I have a teenage son. He's quiet to himself. But at the same time, he seems troubled to me, but I'm not certain that he really is. He's got friends that come and go, and he also has sort of a little bit of an aggressive side. And would you recommend that I seek counseling?
Great question. What are the warning signs, Dr.
Well, Chief? I'm going to tell you the number one thing you've told me that tells me you should seek counseling for him is that you called here and asked the question.
Okay.
You know him well enough, and something is troubling you. Something, and obviously, you know so much more about him than you could possibly share with me in a few sentences, but you've told me that something's troubling you enough that you're concerned. And you're concerned that something's not right. He's quiet. He's used the word he seems troubled. Start with, you know, trying to have a conversation with him, but if he's like most teenagers don't talk to their parents about anything.
Can social media cause depression? Are you seeing
that? Let's stay on her topic for just
okay.
a second.
I'm going to know, yeah. because there's just so ingrained in everything socially, electronically these days. I didn't know if that can affect the brain.
Of course it can, but let's stay with her question. And so I would recommend that you get some counseling, get him evaluated by somebody. You might start with a school counselor, somebody that he's associated with, have them do an evaluation, see what's going on. But the fact that you're concerned, when I was in residency, we would be on call and we would have the question, how do you know when to admit somebody to the hospital rather than to send them home? How do you know when it's safe to send them home if they come into the ER? And our professors, our faculty told us, if you think about sending someone home and you can't sleep at night, they get admitted.
Well, how do you know when you're overreacting? I feel like I could be overreacting to very normal behavior.
You know, that would be based on the objective findings of some investigation. So you're going to have to actually step back and start looking at some things. What are his grades?
His grades are fairly good, and they're good, and they have not changed.
What are his interests? Is he still have the same friends? Is he still going out doing the same things that he's always done? Is he smiling as much as he used to smile?
No.
Okay. So is he initiating conversation as often as he used to initiate conversation?
No.
Is he as spontaneous and wanting to do things as he used to want to do things?
No.
So okay, you've told me three things already. Tells me that something's wrong. He needs an evaluation.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
I appreciate that.
Right. Susie, you're welcome.
Joe, do we have time? All right, Bill, go ahead, buddy. You're on with Tim Jennings, and it's such a pleasure to have you on the show, Bill.
Hey, thank you. Hey, real quick, I want to throw something else out there real quick that I hadn't really heard you say. I've got a very popular workout program on one of the TV infomercials, and there's hundreds out there. And I started working out again, and I was super depressed financially. It really uplifted me, and I think exercise is a key component to all this depression talk. It's not a pill. It's not something, you know, you just change your routine and get your body a little more fit, and it makes a huge difference. And I didn't think I could ever overcome some of my depression, but it's starting to work.
Man, no, that's a great call.
This is an excellent point, and I'm so glad you bring it up. When I actually talk with my patients, I recommend they get into an exercise routine, because when you exercise regularly, multiple good things happen. And let me walk through some of them. You're experiencing, let me tell you why. When you exercise regularly, your muscles produce something called interleukin-10. Interleukin-10 is a very powerful anti-inflammatory factor that suppresses inflammation in your body. Inflammation is a killer to the brain, which actually contributes to white matter damage and neural circuitry problems. Additionally, when you exercise regularly, your body releases endorphins and enkephalins, which gives the famous runner's high. Your brain will also turn on genes, which begin producing proteins that cause neuronal regrowth and regeneration. In a study done on elderly folks who did moderate exercise, within six or eight weeks, they showed 2% growth in the part of the brain that controls memory, which reversed 2 years of aging. So yes, exercise is tremendously important. And one of the killers and contributors to, I think, depression is the fact that we don't exercise and work our bodies enough. So I really appreciate your phone call.
Tim Jennings, so I appreciate you. One of the best in town when it comes to psychiatric care. Dr. Tim Jennings, Bill, great question. Good to have you listening. It's been a great show. It's part of our mental health hotline. This is the third of 12 shows. Sky Ridge Medical Center, Dr. Tim Jennings, Focus Healthcare, and Dr. Charles Sanders. I cannot tell you how much I appreciate all that you've done to allow me to do this show, and thank you. We're talking about depression. If you know someone who is depressed, if you know someone who just cannot beat this depression, Tim Jennings, it's TMS Chattanooga 531-4110. It is a process that is FDA approved. Beliefs affect your thinking. You've got a new book coming out called The God-Shaped Brain. This is going to be the talk of the country. I'm telling you, people are going to grab this book. Beliefs do what?
Well, I want to tell our listening audience, if they're interested in getting it right now, Amazon.com has a pre-release discount.
And it's very affordable.
Yeah, $8.25 on Amazon.com right now. And when it comes out, it's going to be $16. So it's a deal right now if you pre-order.
All right, let's talk about this. Beliefs and...
What I've done in this book is I've integrated science and scripture showing that how a change in your belief about God actually alters neural circuits. We actually have science to show we can change... We can alter which neural circuits grow. We can measure this on brain scans. We can alter, believe it or not, by changing your beliefs, which genes are turned on in your brain and which genes are turned off in your brain. And some of these things we pass along to our children. So the God you worship actually makes a difference. And most people probably will not be surprised by this, but the data shows there's only one God concept that's actually healing, that results in actually lower heart rate, lower blood pressure, greater longevity. Means you live longer, you have more independence, you stay healthier longer, you have less mental illness, and that's the God concept of love.
And all these are footnoted. I mean, all this is, the research is done here. You've got more than 100 research points.
More than 170 research points in here, or something close to that. We take the person through a progression of perspectives. Angry God concepts, wrathful God concepts, punitive God concepts, these activate brain's fear circuits, which contribute to inflammation, which cause relationship problems, physical health problems. This is all well documented.
All right, let me ask you this. No religion in your life. I mean, not even an atheist, but just no religion. No involvement in a church, no involvement in a synagogue, just nothing. What's the study there?
Well, actually, it depends. When you say no religion, as compared to what? As to compared to a healthy religious view with a loving God and healthy principles, then you're not going to be as healthy. If no religion as compared to a fear-imposing, wrathful, punitive God construct, you'll actually be better off than that.
Are you saying mentally healthy, physically healthy,
All of it. Relationship health is affected. In fact, studies show that people who worship have religion but not spiritual development. They worship a wrath and punitive type God, have more child abuse and more spouse abuse than those who have spiritual development.
Man, we've got just two more minutes for you to call in. 267-1023, Dr. Tim Jennings. It's TMS Chattanooga, 531-4110. His office right there on Lee Highway. Let's go through it one more time. I just want to go over all things about depression. What is TMS Chattanooga? If you're listening right now, explain the process that you are doing that is FDA approved.
We're treating people with depression with pulses of magnetic energy that cross the scalp and activate brain circuits that are deactivated during depression, turning the brain back on, basically.
No pain.
No IVs, no anesthesia, no drugs. They can feel like maybe a rubber band popping feeling on their scalp for 4 seconds while they're getting the treatment every minute or so.
Let me just say this. It is a 30-day treatment. Medication within 80 or 90% of the time, gone.
80% of our patients who were unable to get well on medicines are now depression free with this treatment.
You talk about sleep deprivation. That is so critical to get sleep. It is just killing ourselves these days.
Yeah, sleep deprivation is one of the most chronic problems in society, and people don't even realize they're doing it.
Depression so debilitating. The signs of depression, if you have a loved one, is what?
So alterations in, obviously, mood, ability to experience pleasure, motivation, concentration, appetite, sleep, feelings of worthlessness and guilt, suicidal thoughts. These are the big symptoms.
Are we over-medicated these days? You as a psychiatrist, what are we seeing?
I think as a society as a whole that we are over-medicated, and it's a collusion between big pharma, insurance companies, and patients. All of them collude together because patients often want to live their life any way they can, take no responsibility, don't exercise, eat whatever they want, get sick, go to the doctor, get a pill to fix it. And then insurance companies don't want to pay for patients to actually get in therapy to change their thinking. They'd much rather pay for people to go in for a quick visit, get a pill, and go.
You said one of the greatest things you can do for your body, exercise, mentally and physically. It is excellent for you mentally.
Absolutely. It turns on neurotrophins and other factors to keep your brain healthy.
Beliefs affect your thinking. You have a new book coming out called The God-Shaped Brain. It is available on Amazon right now for $8.25. It is The God-Shaped Brain. We're going to talk more about that. Dr. Tim Jennings, it is such a pleasure what you do in this community. By the way, president-elect of the Tennessee Psychiatric Association. His office number, 531-4110, or check out TMSChattanooga.com. Cowboy Joe, always great to work with you.